Warning, the Stone Age Gamer includes a lot of bad language. Cover your motherfucking ears.
Good evening and welcome to episode 204 of the Stone Age Gamer podcast for the week of June 1st, 2018. I am Chris Randazzo, and joining me tonight is awkward stage presentation Dan Ryan.
You know, Chris, maybe I'm old-fashioned, but women voters? Welcome to planet Mars. I'll be over in my spaceship.
I believe that fire is magic, and it scares me a lot. E3 is almost here, and Dan and I are very excited to keep our hype levels higher than they reasonably should be. I believe there's only one true god, and his name is Zorgo, and he lives in this lake. We're going to look back at our favorite E3 moments. But before we go any further, here's your weekly reminder that you can email us at mail@geekade.com. Just include the words Stone Age Gamer in the subject line. You can let us know what you think of our show, what topics you would like us to discuss in the future, or just whittle some wood and whistle as you walk away. We'd be happy with any of those things, listeners.
Maybe I'm old-fashioned, but it seems to me that when the giant who holds up the earth dies, we are screwed! Jokes.
Indeed.
Anyway.
All right, well, let's, first and foremost, top of the episode, I want to say a few words because Ted Dabney, the co-founder of Atari, has passed away. Pretty important figure in the history of video games. Obviously, co-founder of Atari, Nolan Bushnell, took sole credit for that for a good long time. And I never met Ted. We talked about him on the show a while back when his house burned down.
Right.
And Lenny Herman, the author of Phoenix, did a GoFundMe for him, which Ted then turned down. He said, "No, I'll take care of it. I appreciate it, but I'll take care of it," because I guess that was just the kind of guy Ted Dabney was. But he was 81 years old, and he wasn't in great health, from what I've come to understand. And it's sad that he passed, but, you know, 81, it's not bad.
It's not a bad run.
Yeah, not a bad
run.
And
he added a spoke to the wheel, a giant spoke to the wheel.
Yeah, seriously, like, this dude changed the world. So
I mean, that you really, really can't ask for much more than that. And he did go through a large portion of his life not getting the credit that he deserved, but getting it now and starting, it's very much a Bob Kane and Bill Finger kind of situation.
Yeah.
And I think
even
history,
now, though, there's a lot of outlets that are just getting the facts completely wrong about him.
Well, sure, but I think as time goes on, we're going to start to get more clarity into what he was actually responsible for, and it will continue to paint Mr. Bushnell in a somewhat of a more negative light. But
yeah, and not that Nolan's necessarily a bad person. He's doing plenty of stuff. And apparently the two of them were going to like make amends. They were going to have lunch together or something. And it just never happened.
Yeah.
And it was like a recent thing. Like they were going to get together, but,
well, it's one of those things like you start to hit, I imagine there's a certain age that you start to hit where you go, I don't know if I want to go to my grave with enemies, you know,
Knew he didn't have a lot of time left, you know?
Yeah, like, when you're in the situation where you're not buying any green bananas anymore, you know, you kind of start to put some of those things to bed, as it were.
Indeed. All of our respects to Ted and his family, and, for everything he's done for the video game industry. Ted Dabney. On to some brighter news. There were just a couple of headlines that really caught my eye over the last couple of days, particularly today. We got a bunch of information about Mega Man 11. Did you see all that stuff, Dan?
I did.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too.
On my birthday, Chris.
That is wonderful. For those who don't know, Dan's birthday is October 2nd.
That's right. And day of our Lord.
The day of our Lord.
The most glorious of days.
Lord Wywee.
Me and Kelly Ripa, right there in the Venn diagram of October 2nd birthdays.
Well, shit.
I don't know what that has to do with anything, but it's true, and I kind of enjoy it.
So Mega Man 11 looks fantastic. I still don't like his running animation. That's still what's bothering me. And now, having seen more footage from the game, I can nail down, yes, that is what's bothering me. Remember when the first trailer came out, we were looking at it, something's just off. It's totally his running animation. That's what it is.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. So, but they could still fix that. It's still, we're months away, and it's looking pretty nice. We got to see a couple of the Robot Masters. That dude that we saw before is officially Block Man, and he looks super cool when he gets all giant. And I think Fuse Man looks amazing.
I like Block Man. Man looks very cool. I like Block Man. It reminds me of what the fuck was this thing's name? The Mega Man 2 thing. The giant clay-looking monster.
Are you talking about the Mega Man 1, the Yellow Devil?
Yes, Yellow Devil. Thank you. There you go. Sorry, I said Mega Man 2. Mega Man 1.
How dare you?
I know. He looks cool. I've always liked that aspect of Mega Man games, the things building upon themselves and having an interesting way to fight them and take them apart.
Yeah.
It's very cool.
I think this dual gear system looks really cool. I'm totally into this. And spending a lot of time with the Legacy Collection, we'll talk about that in a minute, it's just really got me in such a good mood for this. I was so excited about all this stuff. The new Mega Man amiibo that they announced looks so good.
It does, but the price.
They fixed it already. Yeah.
Even still.
I was real pissed at the price. I pre-ordered it. Because I was like, all right, $60. That sounds good. This is probably a $50 game, so I'm in. Because I didn't, put any thought into it. It was it's a new retail Mega Man game. So
sure.
I could see Capcom charging $50 for that. So $60. Yay, that's a pretty good deal. You get an amiibo and a bunch of stuff. And then I looked at the price, and the actual retail price for this game is $30. And I was like, wow. So the amiibo collection is twice the price. That's too much.
That's way too much.
But I thought to myself, this is probably some sort of placeholder price. I'm going to just leave this pre-order here because they don't charge you until the thing ships.
Right.
It is unfortunately a GameStop exclusive, and I hate giving them money. But I really wanted that amiibo, and so I stuck with it. And then Paul from Too Many Games, AVGC, he messaged me earlier saying that they already adjusted the price. Now the special edition is $50. And that makes sense, because an amiibo is about $15. So the game and the amiibo would have cost me $45. So $5 more gets me a bunch of stickers and a patch and that cool cleaning cloth that looks like the enemy's leg screen.
That
makes
sense.
That is
pretty cool.
So that price actually adds up to me, because if they do wind up selling that amiibo separately, it's going to cost me $15, and I'm not going to not buy that. It's too damn cool. So
I don't like it that much better than the one I already have.
I don't like it that much better than the one I already have, but it's different enough that I can totally warrant buying it. Because it's like the one from Smash Brothers is the Smash Brothers Mega Man, which is just this totally unique creation based off of the Mega Man sprite. He doesn't look like any Mega Man artwork. This looks like Mega Man artwork Mega Man. So I have no problem putting that next to my other Mega Man. that just seems awesome to me.
I have no problem justifying that to myself.
Yeah, no, I justified that in no time. No, I'm good. I'm off the amiibo problem train, I was limiting myself to one thing. I did that for a year or two. I'm good. I'm just going to get everything that I want now. Of course, they're still hard to get, but
yeah. Well, and there haven't been too many crazy new ones that are you have to have this one,
Yeah, I kind of wanted after playing Breath of the Wild, I actually kind of wanted to get some of those, but I haven't really seen them around, and the few that I did, I didn't really want to spend $15 on them. But, neither here nor there. Mega Man 11 looks amazing, and I'm so excited about it. It just, the levels, the boss fights, they just look like good, wholesome, classic Mega Man, and modern too. Because nothing against 9 and 10, but going back to that retro well, especially, I'm in the middle of 7 right now in my replay, and I just love that series did eventually start evolving, and then the fact that they went back to that 8-bit well, as cool as it was, I kind of missed getting into the like Mega Man powered up, which when I listened to Game Explained did a video, Ash Paulson was talking about he got to spend like a bunch of hours with Mega Man 11, and he said it plays like powered up, which is so good. If you've never played powered up on PSP, do so. It's really good, and that's high praise, as Dan and I will attest.
It is an excellent version.
Good times. The other piece of news I wanted to touch on was that today Tommy Tallarico announced that he bought a controlling stake in Intellivision, and he's launching
for like
a new Intellivision.
$13.
Yeah, $15.50 at least. But now he's launching a new Intellivision. And did you read anything about this today?
I did not.
All right, this is wild. All right, so you've got the Atari box, right?
Sure.
Which is this new Linux system that seems way too expensive for what it can do. And it's a Linux box. They released the specs and they're not super impressive, and there doesn't seem to be any exclusive software for it. I think it looks neat, but I don't really want to drop, what is it, like $300 on this thing?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't really, they haven't sold me on the Atari box by a long shot.
No.
Meanwhile, Tommy Tallarico is like, so I want to release a new Intellivision. I'm not out to take on Nintendo, Sony, and Microsoft because that's stupid.
That is a ridiculous notion.
It is a ridiculous notion. You hear that, Atari? That's a ridiculous notion. So what he wants to do with the Intellivision is he remembers what it was like being a kid and what video games used to be. They were simple games, so the system's not going to be super powerful. There were simple games that you sat around and played with your family. It's a family type thing, similar to like the kind of audience that they captured with the Wii, except I don't think they're aiming for any sort of motion control stuff. I think they're just aiming for simple, fun family games.
Right. Simple, easy to pick up and play. Anybody can kind of understand it right away.
Exactly. And that right there, that's what you do, because that's the audience that's untapped.
Right.
That's the audience that Nintendo tapped into with the Wii, but as they continued to get more and more complex with these things, that went away, you know, and now they're back. Now they're doing great with Switch. I'm so happy with what they're doing with Switch. Don't go back. But
no, don't go do that again.
Yeah, don't do that again. That was great when you did it, ish. It was great for you. It was great for the world, I think. But yeah, no, we're happy where we are. I think this Intellivision branding, trying to make a new name for yourself and jump in to try to fill that category, I think that's what you do with this. And I think just capturing that spirit of simple games like Atari and Intellivision games, I think that's wonderful.
I agree. It's one of the things that, you know, like we knock it. Now it certainly doesn't get the love that maybe it deserves or whatever. But, you know, stuff like Angry Birds. Mm-hmm. Like those games were as popular as they were because they were good, first of all, but they were simple.
Yeah, they're the kinds of things that anyone can pick up and play. And it's,
yeah, like I get this. It's intuitive. It's convenient. I don't have to spend 6 hours before I even start the main part of my game. I am just playing a video game. I just want to kill some fucking time. And,
yeah, I mean,
and here I am.
You can say what you will about something like Mario Odyssey being for everyone. It's not for everyone.
It's not.
It's for
no.
gamers. It's a mm-hmm. video gamey. It's a video gamey ass video game right there. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, brief cutscenes and tutorials and moving around in a 3D space. And we were just talking about it recently. Like, I still love playing combat. Get me with one other person who knows how to play the game, and I'll play combat on 2600 like it's till the end of days. Like,
right.
Those games are fun, but it's that kind of sitting around the TV and playing them together kind of a thing is what's kind of missing. There's, some of that stuff gets thrown into like the eShop with the Switch or the PS4 or whatever, but even those kinds of games, you still have to have to hold that controller, you know? You have to hold that thing with all these buttons on it that's that high barrier of entry. And that's why the Wii was so successful, is you'd look at that remote and you immediately got it. It was that simple. That was Wii Sports Tennis right there. It was that simple. And I like that that's what they're going after with this Intellivision. Bully for them.
Bully for them indeed.
All right. Quickly, because we've got a lot to talk about today. Quickly, what have you been playing?
Not much. More Owl Boy. It is very good. I like it. I like it quite a bit. The puzzles are getting more interesting. I've been able to pick up more than one companion, I guess is what we'll call them, for lack of a better term. But the story is very cool. The graphics are just gorgeous. I am digging it quite a bit.
Excellent.
And I just bought today, because it was on sale for $10, I bought Bridge Constructor Portal.
Yes.
I have not started it, but
it's fantastic.
I'm very excited.
And well, you should be. Well, I guess real quick, I've played a little bit more Blossom Tales, just a tiny bit more. It's still great, but it's contending. It has to contend with Runner 3 and Legacy Collections.
Right.
So I haven't put a lot of time into it. I have been really enjoying Runner 3. I've found that as long as I stick to the gold path and not trying to do the gem run, just stick with the gold runs and regular stages, the game's really, it's just right what I want. There's been a couple of cheap deaths, but they're surrounded by really cool set pieces. Like, I'm doing this stage in the spooky land, and there's this Kraken in the background, and then all of a sudden, he whips out a tentacle and breaks the path right in front of me. And it was just so cool, I didn't care that I died. It's like, oh, that was awesome. It scared the crap out of me. That was great. And then I knew where it was the next time I went there, and it was nice and easy to get past. So it was... I'm having a really good time with it. I did try to play through the first bonus level now that I've gotten the double jump, and I made it all the way to the end. So it counts every time you die, every time you lose, it flashes the number of deaths across the screen. Once you get to 100, it just is like the Qbert curse word thing.
That's awesome.
Because I died over 100 times trying to get to the end of this stage.
And you know this because...
Because it keeps count. I don't know how many times I died past that, but I eventually got to what I think is the end of the stage. And it's a handful of steps that are too far for you to double jump over. There are maybe like 2 to 3 pixels worth of space on each one of these steps that's safe for you to land on. So what you need to do is double jump and land flawlessly on one of these spots, and then with enough space that you could double jump past the last ones. And then I would hope that that's the end of the level, but I'm never going to find out because that is not fun.
It's not fun. It's not possible. I mean, it's not possible for you.
No, I could get lucky sometime. I have gotten lucky doing one or two of those jumps in the stage before.
You do have 2 children.
Yeah, and not that I don't love playing this game, and the music is great. It's got a lot going for it, and I think these bonus levels are really cool looking, but if they're all as hard as this one, I will never see all of this game. And that's kind of disappointing, because that right there, that's just mean. And I'm not talking like Mega Man style mean. That's like, it's not a matter of skill anymore at that point. It's a matter of having just the unbelievable pixel perfect rhythmic timing to do that, and it's such a minuscule margin for error that it's like that's just crappy design.
Yeah,
that's
not fun.
That's not a matter of like, because there's a lot of crazy things in that level, and I loved doing all those 100 runs. As frustrating as it was, when I finally got past it and got to those steps, the things that I was able to do in that stage, I felt like a freaking ninja doing them. They were so much fun, jumping and weaving in between all these different things and grabbing the gems and the gold. It felt really cool, and I could see myself going through a bunch of levels like that. But once it got to that bit, and I know I wasn't alone too, because Guillaume Veillette from the Nintendo World Report podcast, he posted on Twitter that he got to the same spot, and he said, "That's it. I'm not doing this. I'm not playing this stage." And I get it, because I feel the same way. I'm not going to even try to beat that ever again. I have no interest in it, because that last step thing is stupid. It's just stupid. No.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like... do you ever play the Impossible game?
A little bit, yeah. It's very similar to Runner. Yeah,
that's not... And that game's not fun after a while.
Yeah, it stops being fun. And that's what Runner 2 never did. Runner 2 never stopped being fun. And I'm finding that the regular levels in this game are always fun. It's these side level things that look super cool that kind of bum me out. But
well, and what's nice about it, though, is, and who knows if this is something that they'll do or that they're interested in, but with the advent of digital gaming, that is something that can be patched. There is, you know, there is a possible workaround of like, man, like, people really hate this. We fucked up. Let's fix it.
Yeah. Because Runner 3 is eventually going to come to other platforms. And something tells me that when it does, there might be some tweaks, because they've gotten a lot of negative feedback about this game, which was really disappointing right before it came out. The reviews were, I mean, I think somebody from Game Explained or Nintendo Reports, one of those places I follow, was like, Runner 3 is the biggest disappointment of the year.
Yeah, it's what you were saying last week. And for a company the size of them, they cannot afford that.
Yeah, that was some pretty negative word of mouth. It seems to have turned around. I think the game's doing well for them. I haven't checked the Switch's bestsellers lately, but it does seem to be doing well enough. I hear people talking about it and people, you know, lavishing some love on them for their game. But it is definitely, it definitely crosses that line into too hard, as in, like, just stopped being fun hard.
Yeah,
and
that sucks.
It does suck, but man, when it shines, it really shines. So I still definitely recommend giving it a try. I picked up both Mega Man Legacy Collections. I did the first 6 Mega Man games in the first 6 days. I beat 1 through 6, one a day every the first 6 days of it being out. So
that felt pretty awesome. Good.
7, I decided to calm down, because 7's one of my favorites in the series. I love the way that game looks and sounds, and I love the level designs, the branching paths and whatnot. I love 7 so much, and it's been so long since I played it that I really stopped to take my time on this one, because these Legacy Collections are so well done. And I just finished all 8 of the main Robot Masters. I wanted to stop and play Turbo Man with my son, because Turbo Man's the one who, you know, transforms into a car, and his whole level is themed around like trucks and stuff. So John thought that was super cool.
And then they made that Arnold Schwarzenegger movie about it.
Yeah.
Nothing? No?
No, I'm sorry. You've
never seen the movie? Jingle All the Way?
Is that what that is?
Yeah. Where he's Turbo Man.
My God, Turbo Man. That's right. All right.
It's possibly the greatest Christmas movie ever made.
I remember that.
Arnold Schwarzenegger and Sinbad and Phil Hartman. Fucking amazing. Fucking love that movie so much. Anyway. Now, the bigger question, Chris, before we jump into our E3 thing.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to get the Street Fighter collection? And on which system? Because now that's a thing funny. I have to ask you.
That is a thing you have to ask me. So let's tell that story. I am sitting next to a PlayStation 4. I am now the proud owner of a PlayStation 4. It showed up in the mail today. The hugest of all conceivable shout-outs to a gentleman by the name of Clay Cook. Clay Cook contacted... He's a listener of our show. This is something that I've never expected to happen in my life. Clay Cook has been listening to our show since episode 20, and he sent me a Twitter message that just said, I might be able to help you out with something, private message me. So I was like, all right, I did some quick internet stalking because I recognized the name, and I was like, oh, this guy, I talked to him about Breath of the Wild and stuff not that long ago, you know, back when that came out and we were talking about the game. That was fun. Okay, I'll bite. What can you help me out with? Turns out that he had this issue with his PlayStation 4, and he decided to just upgrade and get himself a PS4 Pro. And he wanted to donate his old PS4, you know, as long as he could get it working right and, you know, erase all the information off it, reset it to his factory defaults. He wanted to donate it to me, since he's heard me talk about the fact that I don't have a PS4 and I'm not going to get one anytime soon. And so after asking him several times if he was sure and being as thankful as humanly possible as I could on like a Twitter conversation, I agreed, and he sent me a PlayStation 4. It showed up in the mail today. I can't play it yet because right after he put it in the mail, he realized that the power cord was still in his car. So he's mailed that separately. That should be coming in a couple of days. The system does not have a controller, which I just ordered one of them off of Amazon. Should be a standard.
It's honestly
thing, so.
The least you could do.
Seriously. yay.
That is the least you could do.
That's about the most affordable way to get me a PlayStation 4. So Clay Cook, from the bottom of my heart, just holy crap, thank you.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, we don't do this to get free stuff.
And, I do, it just never works.
It was really something when Ferg sent me that Zelda watch, you know, and I was talking about, I have all the Zelda games except for the Zelda watch, and then he sent me that. But, you know, Ferg and I were friends at this point, you know, him and we're friends, and I appreciated that to no end, but it was like, it didn't strike me as so out of the blue. And this is just this guy who listens to us talk every week, and
which is great. I mean, that's the kind of thing that, like, we'll keep doing this show just for Clay.
And now I'm going to play PlayStation 4 games. The problem is, I own one PlayStation 4 game, and that PlayStation 4 game is Bubsy. So, unfortunately, that's going to be, when all these parts get here, that's going to be the first game I play on my PS4.
Which is not the game you should judge it by.
I definitely won't be. Because I've played PS4. I know not to judge it by that. But that will be the first game I play, because the first game that me and Dan and a bunch of people talked about which games I should get and in what order, and I have definitely decided. I mean, the game that I am most interested in is Horizon, so that's going to be the first game I play after Bubsy.
That's so ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous. But I paid almost nothing for it. But
important question, Chris. Before the important question,
one more time, Clay, thank you. I was moved beyond reason by this incredible act of kindness. I cannot believe somebody gave me a PlayStation 4, and thank you from the bottom of my heart.
Yes.
Street Fighter.
You kind of have to get it on PS4, I think.
All right, so the part of me that considers money no object, which is the part of me that lives in the clouds, is saying get it for both.
No,
because here's the thing.
That's ridiculous.
This game is not going to run better on the PlayStation 4 than it is on the Switch.
That's not true.
How do you mean? It's arcade ports. It runs fine. I was watching reviews today.
Sure.
It's great. There's online connectivity. I'll probably be able to know more people with this collection on PlayStation 4 that'll play online with me.
There you go.
I think. Because I also have a bunch of friends that have Switches now that might get this on that. Now, here's the big things. Playing people online, that's one thing. I know that I won't do that as often as I did back on Xbox 360 with Super Street Fighter 4. I just know I won't, because I don't have that time to coordinate with other people to play it online. So what it comes down to is not performance. The games run the same on all platforms because they're old arcade games being emulated. That's not an issue. The Switch has the portability factor. The Switch has, no matter where I go, if I have my Switch with me, I can play Third Strike. I can play Street Fighter without whipping out my cell phone and playing that Street Fighter 4 version, which isn't terrible, but I can have good and proper, the realest of the real Street Fighters with me wherever I go. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
But the controller is something of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reviews that I listened to today, again, I'm going to mention Ash Paulson from Game Explain, because I feel like he and I see eye to eye on a lot of things. He tends to share my opinions on a lot of stuff. He said that if we're going like serious tournament worthy play, you have to get an arcade stick for the Switch, which those exist, and that's fine. But for the level of play that I think I'm at, it works pretty well with what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I've gotten pretty good with those weird little buttons. The fake D-pad. I've been playing the Mega Man games with those, and that's actually been working pretty well for me. So
But that's not pulling off quarter circles and, you know.
No, it's not.
I worry about that.
I do worry about that. I am interested in it.
Sure.
Because I gotta say, having those games portably on the Switch is really, really enticing to me. To just, you know, instead of firing up a game, it's another thing that I can just play a quick match or two and then just be done.
Right.
And that's really, really interesting to me. Now, on the opposite side, the PlayStation 4 will have a proper functioning D-pad on that controller.
A really nice one, yeah.
A really nice one. And probably more of an online community that I could get involved with. And it comes with the free download of Super Street Fighter 4.
Right.
I really don't know. Because on one hand, that is going to be tethered to the TV in my basement. So it's get the extra version of Street Fighter and online play, or get the freedom to take it with me anywhere. I really don't know. That is a tough call for me.
I would say, because if we're being honest, you are going to end up with both.
Probably at some point, because it's probably going to go on sale on Switch, on PS4 at some point.
Right. I would argue that the PS4 one would be the one to get first, mostly because of the online community and the fact that it is going to be bigger at the beginning and will probably have a more sustained install base for it. Not that it's not going to sell well on the Switch, but I could be way off. I would imagine the community, that aspect of the game being a bigger part of the PlayStation 4 going forward.
And every 90% of me agrees with you, except for the fact that there's apparently an active community around that Street Fighter 2 port they put on the thing early in its lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's going to be an active enough community there. But then I think back to, all right, well, you know what? This came out today, and so did Ikaruga, and mm-hmm. I still have the rest of 7, and then all of 8, 9, and 10 in Mega Man to do, and all of Runner 3, most of Runner 3. I'm still working on Blossom Tales. I gotta play me some Bubsy. I'm getting Horizon sometime soon. Do I even have time for this? The Mega Man X collection is right around the corner, Dan. That's 8 more games.
I'm just saying, how are we going to stream you and I playing Street Fighter if I have it on PS4 and you have it on Switch?
So basically, you're asking because you want to play Street Fighter with me.
That's true. Yes.
All right, see, now that's a factor.
Because I will not be getting it on the Switch. Other things, but not having a pro controller play it on the TV, like that is a deal breaker.
That me. I would, yeah, definitely.
Because that game then becomes, you know, $110 for me to play it on the Switch.
You just need to get a pro controller at some point.
At some point I will. You know, or if not a pro controller, one of the tethered ones, they have a long enough cord and they're like $25.
Oh yeah, those.
You know what I mean?
I hear like those are quite nice.
But even still, that jacks the price of this $40 game up to, you know, $65 at that point.
That is true.
Just not something I am in a position to do at the moment. You know what I mean? Not that it's a crazy amount of money, but, you know, when I look at it of I could spend $40 or I could spend $65 to get the same thing, I'm going to spend $40.
Is it 40? Super Street Fighter 4.
Yeah, it's 40.
Is that how much it is?
Yeah, I was just looking at it on the store when I was downloading Portal and deciding whether or not I needed to get both. But I didn't get it yet.
Yeah, you know, I'm
Tiff's
still.
Tiff's birthday is coming up. I'm still playing through Owlboy. I want to get Bloodstained: Curse of the Moon.
Oh my god, I want to get that too.
You know what I mean? That's only $10, so I want to grab that. You know, there's a few other things to get, and the cool thing about Street Fighter is that I do want to get it. You know, I would imagine that Dean is going to get it. We can do some streaming stuff with it. I can play against you, but it's not like I need to have it today.
Yeah, that's the thing. I'm not like, I had to get that Mega Man collection. This one,
sure.
I'm not dying to play Street Fighter right now because I'm so busy with other stuff.
Right.
But I really want this collection. I really do. I was looking at a video of some of the like the museum style stuff. Ugh. Looks
yeah,
so good.
I'm super into that. I'm really into the online versions of the games. Like that's just really awesome.
I didn't even get Tropical Freeze yet. Son of a
no.
bitch.
You know, there's too much. Too much, Chris.
Yeah. It's very strange being in this situation where there's
and
just too many good games.
Ready. Are you ready for this, Chris?
I'm ready.
And steering us back to our featured topic tonight, E3 is right around the corner and we're gonna get a whole slew of announcements of new stuff that we want.
I know. It's ridiculous.
It's ridic.
So before we get to the next week's true fun, which is the ridiculous predictions episode, which I always love doing, we are going to talk about some of our favorite E3 moments. I didn't rank these, except I knew what my top two were, so I just saved them for last. So I don't know. How many do you have?
I have 5.
Oh, wow. I have a lot more than that.
You do.
I do. So let's just plow through a few. I'll start. I don't know if this was one of yours, but this is a pretty great moment. This was from the PlayStation 3 conference back in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And this was one of those Sony dudes. I don't even remember who it was. Just up there talking, doing their thing, get ready to make an announcement, and then all of a sudden, Gladys's voice comes in.
Oh, and so good.
Freaking Gabe Newell walks out on stage, and he completely owns the fact that he had been trashing the PlayStation 3.
Oh, yeah, he says something like, you know, thank you for not, like, beating the shit out of me.
Yeah, something like not punching me in the face.
Yeah.
Because, like, he was pretty vehemently against like the PlayStation 3. I'm pretty sure that a lot of that came from the performance of Orange Box on PS3
mm-hmm.
and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just really cool. You know, one, anything that incorporates Gladys is usually pretty cool. And two, it was just one of those. I love it when you see someone on stage at a press conference that you just never expected to see there. And that was one of those things that I just never expected to happen. And it was a super cool moment.
And it's going to be so much cooler the next time he comes out and announces Half Portal 3. That
yes.
is going to be just out of control.
Absolutely. Well, the other piece of that was
yeah.
that it was then immediately followed by that amazing trailer for Portal 2.
Yes.
Which I was doing some research on this earlier today and watching a lot of these moments again. And I haven't seen that trailer in forever. And wow, man,
it's
that
so
game
good.
Still looks so good.
It really
it
does.
Still
it
looks so
really,
good.
It's really, really held up.
Oh my God.
It's pretty crazy, like, how well that game holds up.
Portal is amazing.
It really is. I'm going to stick in 2010, and I'm going to highlight, also at the PlayStation 3 conference, the Kevin Butler segment. Now, Kevin Butler, I know, I get it. It's cheesy, it's silly, it's no cheesier than Reggie, though.
No, it's not the cheese factor. It's the content. I thought about this one, and I rewatched that whole thing today because this was on my list until I rewatched it.
But here's the thing, it's not my favorite moments viewed through, you know, the glasses of hindsight and adjusted for, you know, modern expectations. It was mm-hmm. what was the moment at that time, and
yeah.
back then for people unfamiliar. Kevin Butler was this character that Sony Marketing had created, who was the VP of everything. Like, he would pop out on these commercials and he would say ridiculously funny shit, and he was like the VP of fanboyism and the VP of, you know, whatever silly thing you could imagine.
Like ridiculous explosions or something like that.
Yeah.
He was you know, a great, I was.
I was phenomenal.
I still can't think of a reason they're not still using him. Like
there was some sort of controversial thing he did or said. He was in an ad for like a Nintendo game or something like that, or an Xbox game. Like he was just like in a commercial.
Gotcha.
And it was like, oh shit, that's the VP of so like we can't do that. That's not. And it was just, and that was the end of it. It killed it. But,
that's such a shame. Those are such good ads.
But
that guy was awesome.
Oh, he was so funny, and it was so popular at the time that people were naturally asking, you know, are you going to be at E3? And he was, you know, like the actor had said, you know, no, I'm not going to be able to make it. I have other filming commitments. You know, I'm not going to be able to be there. And then out walks Kevin Butler out onto the stage, and he delivers this really impassioned speech about gaming and shit for gamers, and just he introduced the PlayStation Move, which was awesome at the time and kind of fucking fell apart, but whatever, it's still being used for the VR and it's really great now. But at the time, it was this really amazing moment, and it was so, he was funny, you know.
He was not only was he funny, but like, it was so obvious that this guy was good at talking, whereas all the Sony executives were not.
Oh, so bad.
Because coming off of that guy that he interrupted, it's just like, okay, have this guy do the rest of your conference because he can talk.
Yeah, and like,
he was talking with passion. I get what you're saying. It was, but I also remember kind of feeling that way at the time because, you know, this was, we need to get some of the Wii's success. And this was that with, sure, with them and with the Move and with Kinect. And I was always a little bit just kind of, you know, a little turned off by that. And just the way that he just dove right into, like, all right, and I'm the gamer's gamer, and you're going to love the PlayStation Move. You're really going to love it. It's going to work for all your cool games and stuff. And I liked what he was saying about the inclusion thing. Like, it only does mm-hmm. everything, and we want... Yeah. The, you know, those grandmas and whatnot to be playing it too. But that was such a very specific, like, he was just straight up saying, we want to do what we is doing.
Yeah.
And that was a portion of game history that I didn't love, was that Nintendo carved out this, their own little unique thing, and them trying to copycat it was just upsetting, because I get that there was a lot of money there potentially, but Sony was doing so good at their thing.
Yeah.
Nintendo wasn't at that point. Nintendo needed to do something different because Sony was beating them at that thing that they were doing. And then Nintendo starts making all this money with this crowd that's not going to stick around. And Microsoft and Sony were like, we need that money too.
We want some of that money as well. There's more money. We want more money.
Just do what you do. Do what you do and do it well. Which is what they're doing with PlayStation 4.
Like, yeah.
They righted that ship, but this time was just so weird. And that chunk of the speech didn't thrill me, but I do get where you're coming from. That was a great, great moment having him come out.
It was such a fun reveal, and it was such a fun character.
It was.
You know, I loved
it. Agreed. This one is low on my list, but it is one of the most memorable things I've ever seen, because this is an example of something that's so well put together that it transcends my distaste for the subject matter.
Okay.
I'm not care for Halo.
No.
But the Halo 3 reveal trailer at E3 2006 is incredible.
Excellent.
It is an exquisite trailer. It shows no gameplay. And it's just so well put together, and especially that music. I watched it again today, and it still gave me chills. I do not give a crap about Halo, not a single one. But I will watch this trailer and just, oh my God, the music and the way it looks, and it's just great. And like, Captain Generic, Master Chief, walks out, and I'm like, that's badass. I don't care. That is wonderful. It's just so well put together. It is such a great trailer. And that was just the power of something that's that well put together, that it makes it exciting. It just makes so much, even something that I don't care about, that much more exciting. And that's why that's just such a high bar for me. Like, I don't have a ton of top Microsoft moments at E3. Mm-hmm. I just don't. A lot of times their stuff just doesn't connect with me. But that Halo 3 reveal trailer was insane.
Microsoft Connect. I will stick with Microsoft for next one, because I wrote down 5, but I did have others.
It's the car from last year, right?
Yeah. Oh, God.
Look at that car!
There's a car!
There's a car! You ever seen a car before? It's a car!
This car is in the game. It's in the game. This car this car that's on our stage that we spent a lot of money for, so we got to keep looking at it. It's also in the game.
We drove
fuck
here
that
ourselves.
Game because there's a car on this stage. the Minecraft, the virtual 3D Minecraft thing that they showed off, that was mind-blowing.
That was the future.
So cool.
Yeah, that was ridiculous.
And it hasn't happened yet.
It's not gonna
happen. And it's never gonna happen. But man, was that a cool moment.
That was so crazy. I remember looking at that being like, that is a neat trick.
Completely.
It didn't make me want to play it.
Applicable to anything, but it is a fucking cool trick.
That was a neat trick right there. You're absolutely right. That was a cool moment right there.
Man, like, I was watching that going, son of a bitch. That's awesome.
We are almost on the holodeck here.
We
folks.
Really are.
That's
at this
crazy.
Point. I'm going to be able to wear a shitty jumpsuit and talk to Whoopi and drink something green. It's going to be fucking dope. I can't wait.
Yeah, no, that was great. That was so cool.
It was just so cool. And like to take Minecraft, this world renowned, world beloved franchise, and when you think that you have seen everything Minecraft can do and present it in this new light where Minecraft, this pixelated shit, looks like the fucking future.
Yeah.
Amazing. I mean, just what a great moment. And they have done nothing to capitalize on it.
They've done exactly
whatsoever.
Jack
and shit.
And Jack left town.
I'm with you, man. Like, most of the Microsoft stuff, like most of their stuff at their conferences, I'm like, eh?
Oh man, I gotta mention this one. You just reminded me of a moment at a Microsoft conference that got me. Friggin' Killer Instinct. Not even when the game, not even when they showed the game, because that's when it all deflated for me. But it was when they first started announcing it. When just that music, and like that little logo and things just started showing up. I was like, oh, they're bringing Killer Instinct back. Oh, this is going to be,
tribal but it's still tattoos? Made by Rare, and that's not good anymore, shit.
Really? But that moment right there, when they first kind of yanked that out, that was really freaking cool, man.
That 8 seconds was an amazing
that was
8 seconds.
That was a great 8 seconds, man. That made me
also
really happy.
Also a really good Luke Perry movie.
Oh, fair enough.
I'm kidding. It's a horrible Luke Perry.
All right. These are definitely not ranked because this is one of my favorite things. This was an onslaught, all right? So, me, Super Nintendo fan, love Nintendo to every end of the earth, right? They've been...
I've heard rumors that...
they've been smacked around a little bit at this point. They launched the GameCube, and I love it with all of my heart and soul. But it has not been catching up to the Xbox and the PlayStation. It's catching up to the Xbox, but PlayStation 2 is it's far away, right?
Yeah.
So I'm enjoying my GameCube. We had Metroid Prime come out, Wind Waker, and Mario Sunshine. Things are going well. We've started to have a bit of an uptick in the old GameCube, and what they needed to do at E3 2004 was just come out swinging and knock it out of the goddamn park. That's what they needed to do, because everybody else had some crazy stuff going on too, and Nintendo did exactly what they needed to do. Things after that kind of fell apart again, but E3 2004 starts off with this crazy awesome compilation trailer of a whole bunch of really awesome game footage with, you know, games like Bat and Kratos in it. And it ends with the phrase, which I can't believe they haven't used this slogan again, that we make games that make games worth playing. That's a good slogan right there.
It's pretty good.
Then as soon as that finishes, Reggie Fils-Aimé walks on stage for the first time. And he does the whole, my name is Reggie, I'm about kicking ass and taking names, and we're about making great games. And that's it. Boom. Right into Metroid Prime 2. Jaws on the floor. Ah, this game looks amazing. Dark Samus. Oh my God. Things are blowing up. She's doing the screw attack. The screw attack is back in Metroid Prime. I'm ripping my hair out. Freaking the hell out. This is amazing. Followed immediately by Star Fox Assault. Say what you will about that game, it looked really cool.
It did look cool.
Namco, for the team that brought you freaking Ace Combat, made a Star Fox game. Enjoy. That's amazing news right there. Should have been better. Still can't believe it wasn't. Follow that by Resident Evil Goddamn 4.
Yeah.
I know you're not the biggest fan of that, but initial reveal trailer looked leagues ahead of anything any platform had done. Just the visuals in that game alone were incredible. And Resident Evil 4 turned out to be one of my all-time favorite action games. But at that point, it was a GameCube exclusive. That's right. He would cut off his head if it showed up on any other platforms. That's quite a story. But
which is a shame.
Was fun. Talented man. So at the time...
talented man just had...
Where only a couple of minutes into Nintendo's press conference, we've been introduced to Reggie, this huge personality. We've gotten three new exclusive GameCube games, Metroid, Star Fox, and Resident Evil. And then he comes out and he talks... Reggie comes back out and he just talks extremely frankly about what Nintendo's mission is. Like, these games look awesome, but we're not just here for you. We're here for everyone, and we're going to make games that appeal to all gamers. And like, he was so just dead serious about it. Didn't try to make a joke out of it or anything like that. He was just like, we are in this for all of you and all of you that aren't here. So we're going to keep making the Mario games and all that stuff, but we're also going to make these awesome games. And they went on to have a pretty damn good conference where they introduced the DS and all that jazz.
The DS reveal was cool.
Yeah, that was really cool. But this
was that
opening...
the one with all of the girls walking out and they had the DS's like...
That was 3DS.
Or the 3DS when they were like chained to their bodies.
Yeah, because they didn't want any of those things leaving, but they were like, we can't show you a video of this. You have to see this to believe it.
Yeah.
And that probably would have been one of my favorite moments had I been there, because watching that online didn't really do anything for me. Like, it's glasses-free 3D and it actually works. I'm like, bull fucking shit.
Yeah, no way it does.
It kind of does. Freaked me out, but there you go. But that whole bit right there, that just opening segment of Nintendo's E3 2004 was like, as Nintendo fan, was about as good as I could have possibly imagined it being. Now, we all know how E3 2004 ended for them, which we will get to later, but that right there, Resident Evil 4, Star Fox, and Metroid Prime, I could not have been a happier person, and I was just losing my damn mind at that conference at that point. Losing my mind.
I'm going to stick with Nintendo and talk about the 2014 Robot Chicken Conference.
Oh my god, I forgot about that! When's Mother 3 coming out? My god, I forgot that was so good.
Adult Link yelling at Toon Link, like everything about
it. Holy crap, how did I forget about that? I knew there was a Nintendo Direct recently that I loved. That was such a good show, you're right. Holy crap, what games were in that? That was 2014?
Yeah. It was about the best Nintendo could do at that point.
Oh my god, that
because,
was...
Because, I mean, you were talking about the hype of... Like, just, you know, PlayStation 4 was out, you know, the year before was the big PlayStation reveal, but, like, PlayStation 4 was just off the charts, everybody was loving it, you know, it's this brand new hot system, and Nintendo's like, ooh, Robot Chicken?
This was Smash Brothers. This is that ridiculous Smash Brothers trailer where Satoru Iwata and Reggie beat the crap out of each other.
Yep, that was in there.
Oh my god, that was so good. And that's when we saw that the Miis were going to be in there. That's right. I put this whole the Smash Brothers thing in as one of my favorites. I just totally forgot it was connected to this.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my god. This was so good because, you know, piggybacking off of this, you know, was when we also not only just that reveal, but at E3 this year as well, at E3 2014, we saw, I believe it was 2014, where we saw Mega Man was in this.
Yes, I believe so.
Was it that, or let me check my notes.
I'm pretty
sure
it was.
Was that at 13? Nope, that was the year before.
Was it?
I think it's. I have it written down. The Mega Man reveal was in 2013.
I thought it was 14. Whatever. It was still a good moment. It was this wonderful blending of worlds of Robot Chicken, which is endlessly funny.
Yoshi's and Woolly World, Captain Toad, Breath of the Wild reveal. Holy crap, that's right. This was when we first saw Breath of the Wild in motion, and we saw Link on the horse, and then he fights that guardian. Oh my god, that was amazing. I must have watched that a billion times. And they went into Pokemon, and
yeah,
Yoshi's Woolly World, and Hyrule Warriors, the Kirby game, Xenoblade Chronicles X. Oh, was this Mario Maker? Holy crap, this was Mario Maker too. What a year!
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
This is Mario Maker, this was Splatoon? Jeez,
not bad.
Yeah, they... It's years like this that really make you think, like, man, if they just had a handful of years that were this good, the Wii U probably would have done okay.
It really would have. But no.
Was it at the Treehouse Live? When did... Oh, they finished it off showing Palutena. Yeah, if they finished off with Palutena, we knew about Mega Man at this point. We had to. So yeah, I think the Mega Man reveal was at 2013. It must have been.
Perhaps. I mean, it all runs together at this point, but, you know. I just remember the Robot Chicken thing and being delightfully amused by it.
Yeah. No, that was awesome. That all those Robot Chicken segments. I loved the one where he like blew up the guy that was asking about Mother 3. That was hilarious.
Come on, Reggie, give us Mother 3.
How about this instead?
Hey, wait a minute.
Yeah, Robot Chicken
and
Reggie
sad at the same time.
It's pretty great.
Yeah, that's wonderful. Wait, good pull. Good pull. I can't believe I forgot about that.
I can't believe you forgot about that either. Like, I was expecting to say Robot Chicken Nintendo and to just not talk for 20 minutes.
I was going through so many weird E3 moments today. Like,
that's fair.
I watched a lot of the first E3 and it was weird.
Yeah, it's not good.
We'll get back to that.
As bad as some of the other ones have been, you go back to that first one and it's like,
It's amazing. Nintendo spent like their entire press conference barely had any product in it. It was all about anti-piracy.
Yeah.
It's like, this is what we need to do to crack down on piracy. And it's just pie charts and graphs. And, wow.
Weird.
All right, one of my favorite moments. There were a lot of great moments in E3 2013, but there was nothing quite like watching the Microsoft 2013 conference where they reveal the Xbox One fully. They talk about all the things that they're going to do and the DRM and not being able to really use used games and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then listening to the world just kind of be like, wow, what a bunch of assholes. That's pretty terrible. And then the next day, at PlayStation's conference.
The very next day,
PlayStation just starts smacking them around, just directly attacks them at their conference about, you can use used games on our system. If you want to lend your game to a friend, you can.
Here's how you do it. And that little promo video of Shuhei just handing the game over.
Oh my god, no, you don't have to check in for any persistent online DRM. They were so snarky, and like I love it when the industry kind of works well together, you know, when it's friendly competition. But if anyone deserved to have the piss taken out of them, it was Microsoft in 2013.
It really was,
because that was a bunch of horseshit. And then the price, just
that final
nail
moment,
in the coffin right there. And it was
$100 cheaper.
The
console generation
4,
war was over at that point.
PlayStation 4 has trounced Xbox One. There is no catching up at this point. It's just not going to happen because the PS4 has no signs of slowing down.
That was on my list as my number two.
Really? I'm sorry. I stole that.
It's okay. But it was also combined with the PlayStation reveal in 1995 when the first PlayStation was coming out, and the head of Sony came out at that point, and you know, they had a whole thing because the Saturn was announced that year of, it's $399 and you can get it right now, and like,
see,
nobody
cared. You're dramatizing that. I watched that earlier today. It was the most boring thing ever.
Well,
it was a dude in glasses just being like, and so yesterday we started rolling out our official Saturn launch, and it is available in stores right now. It retails for about $399 to $449 depending. And it's available now.
Was it that bad?
It was. Yeah, it was that bad. If I can grab some audio and throw it into the show, I will. Evan, at 104:46, I'm going to try to find something for you to splice into the show.
And since I began my remarks with an announcement, I may as well finish with another. We started our rollout of Sega Saturn yesterday. We were at retail today in 1800 Toys R Us, software, etc., and electronic boutique stores around the U.S. and Canada. Our retail price is between $3.99 and $4.49. We have 10 software titles at retail in the next few days, 20 by August. Our total rollout will take the summer to complete, but we're starting today in-store and starting today on primetime TV with these commercials. Sega Saturn is not only here now, it's out there. Thanks. It's been an honor.
But yeah, it was that bad. It was just completely effing boring. And now, tell your story of the PlayStation conference immediately after.
Sony dude comes out. They're like, he's going to have a brief press conference on the price of the PlayStation.
And They didn't even say price. It's just like, a word from blah, blah, blah.
From the president. And like, he comes out and he shuffles some papers around and he looks out at the crowd and says, $2.99. And walks away. And that was the end of that generation.
I'm going to ask Sony Computer Entertainment President of America, Steve Race, to join me for a brief presentation. $2.99.
Sony won that day by being $100 cheaper, and that was it. I mean, it was over.
And like that was also cool about that was that was nail in the coffin right there, because
oh god, yeah.
Saturn was all they had a pretty decent showing of like how they were going to do their ad campaigns, because you got to understand, back in 95, E3 was very different. It was them talking to shareholders and people that were to invest in this. They weren't selling games directly to gamers at E3 at this point. So Sega's press conference was, they spent a lot of time going over what their ad campaign is, and they showed what some of their commercials are going to look like, and all some of the games that were being made for it, and how many third parties they had signed on, all that kind of stuff. So it wasn't a terrible presentation until they got to that bit where, like, it's available now and it's $400 to $450. Like, that was steep. Even, like, that was unexpectedly
crazy.
Steep. That was a lot of money. But PlayStation's conference, this was their first E3, because it was the first E3, but this was their first, big press conference as a competitor on this stage versus Sega and Nintendo at that point. And they kind of nailed it. Like, they had a lot of really cool looking stuff. They were, not to sound like too much like an old guy, they had a very hip presentation. And it wasn't as bland as Sega's.
Yeah.
And the fact that they even came out with that joke of just saying $2.99 and walking away, like, they presented it in an amusing manner. And that was, it was just great. It was just a really great moment. I wish the internet existed back then so I could have been cognizant of that kind of stuff, because we read about it in magazines later.
Right.
But now you can actually catch YouTube footage of it, and it is dry. it is dry stuff, it's very boring, brown, but it's...
it's where your brown look.
It's still really cool. Really, really cool. Yeah, 1995.
But then, man, that 2013 PlayStation conference. Because the other thing about that was that for as shitty as a lot of the Xbox stuff was, there was a lot of really cool stuff that they showed.
Yeah, it wasn't bad.
Like, they showed some really cool, really new, interesting things. But then Sony came out and was like, here's why you don't care about any of that. And they just destroyed it.
Pretty much.
So much so that that dude went and like threw the fucking mic, his mic drop. Which was ridiculous. Do you remember like they interviewed him later and he like threw it over his shoulder?
I don't remember
and
that.
And said mic drop. Like, you're not allowed to say mic drop. That kind of ruins the whole
mic drop. Let's see. I'm looking at their 2013 press conference, and what the hell is this they're starting with? Oh, is this... Oh, they started it with Phantom Pain. I was like, yeah, alright, Metal Gear Phantom Pain is going to be on Xbox, so that's kind of neat. Jeez, where did they go from there?
Well, but I'm not even just talking about that. I'm talking about some of the, like, the reveal stuff that they put out, like, the way that you could control it, and, you know, the different voice command stuff. Like, all of that was pretty cool.
I remember it not being a terrible E3. There was this, what was the name of this stupid Spartan game that turned out to be trash? What was that?
Oh, God.
Oh, what is this?
Rise of the
Rise.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy, yeah, that didn't go anywhere. People hated that game.
Because it was Forza, like a Kinect only thing.
No, I think it was just crap. I don't think it was Kinect only. I think it was just garbage. Microsoft Studios presents. What the hell is that? Project Spark? Did that ever happen?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
That was the thing that had like Conquer in it or something, right?
Yeah. People dug it too. There was actually some pretty cool stuff that was done with that, but.
Totally forgot about that. Now they're talking about all the features of Xbox Live, and there's Dead Rising, Witcher 3, Battlefield 4, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, this wasn't a bad conference. It didn't really speak to me very much, but it was definitely not a bad conference. And there's Halo 4, I think. Still not as cool as that Halo 3 trailer, but that wasn't bad.
But man, did they get killed the next night.
Yeah, it was just like, this is cute. Nicely done, guys. Here's how it's done.
That was Sony just firing on all cylinders,
man. Yeah, and it wasn't even, and like that was a great moment, but like their conference in total was just, it was just better. It flowing through what we got here is like, yeah, they had the Vita going on and like, okay, whatever. They're talking about the Batman stuff. I'm just rolling real quick. Redbox
Destiny
video. Was this PlayStation TV and stuff they talked about? There's a little bit Kingdom Hearts in there. Yeah, they just had it. They just nailed it at this show. Good for them.
Good stuff.
Good stuff.
All right, Chris.
I'll say one more before the break.
One more in a break.
Yeah.
And then we'll have our 5 minutes after the break, like usual.
E3 2006. If I remember correctly, because all this kind of stuff was blocked at work, so I was messing around with it on my phone, getting the research down. But it was E3 2006, and I think this was actually after their presentation. This like was at a private thing behind closed doors, and then it got kind of released to everybody. Was the Super Smash Brothers Brawl reveal?
Mm-hmm.
Smash Brothers Brawl for Wii. This was so huge for me personally because of Pit,
right?
Being the huge Kid Icarus fan that I am. First off, this trailer was hilarious just from the jump because it's the character models from Smash Brothers Melee running at each other of Mario, Link, Kirby, and Pikachu. And, you know, Mario, they do this little, like, wave of electricity thing where they update to the new character models, and Mario suddenly has, like, you can see the stitches on his overalls, and Link looks like the Link from Twilight Princess, and he's all, like, hyper-detailed, and Pikachu's got more texture, and then the same thing happens to Kirby, and nothing happens to the character model at all, and he just looks around kind of sad and confused.
That one was pretty great.
And that then they fire up the trailer, and they're all fighting one another, and the music's incredible. And then the stages are going nuts. We get to see the Smash Ball for the first time, and that's super cool. And then we start getting the character reveals. The Halibird takes off in the background, and freaking Meta Knight shows up. And I'm like, Meta Knight, that's so cool! And then he's fighting everybody, and then he blocks an arrow, and there is this amazing reinvention of my favorite Nintendo character, Pit. Wings spread, firing arrows. And I'm like, oh! He's real. He's real. He's actually. Oh, I'm freaking the hell out. And like then Zero Suit Samus shows up, and that's awesome. And Wario shows up and makes a giant nuclear fart, and that's hilarious. And the trailer's over, and I'm like, all right, I'm done. I'm sold. That's it. That's the best thing that's going to happen at E3. And then the codec. The freaking codec sound happens. And I'm like, wait, what the hell am I looking at here? They're talking about Smash? There's no, that's not possible. There's Solid Snake in a freaking cardboard box with the Smash logo, and he comes out of the box, and he's face-to-face with Mario, and Solid Snake are face-to-face, and Snake is in Smash Brothers.
Bananas.
It is the level of insanity that I was never in a billion years prepared for, because up to this point, the first two Smash games were strictly Nintendo franchises, and the first third-party character to show up in Smash isn't Sonic the Hedgehog,
nope.
It isn't Pac-Man or Mega Man, it's Solid Snake? What?
Makes all the sense in the world.
And, like, it's not that it doesn't make sense. There was an exclusive Metal Gear game on the freaking GameCube. The first Metal Gear game that came out in America was for the Nintendo Entertainment System. Like, yeah. It makes sense. Snake, you know, the Metal Gear and Nintendo have a history. But boy, that was just so unexpected and so cool.
It was very cool.
Ridiculous.
It got me to consider playing Smash. I thought better of it.
Yeah, because that game is not for you. But
you probably
watched some videos of it because that was awesome. Did. Just like the Mega Man stuff. God, that was good. Good times. Right. Nothing like Smash hype. All right. We're going to take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some more of our favorite moments from E3 and maybe do a quick rundown of our least favorite, but probably not because it's getting late.
Right. Lightning round, Chris.
What's that? Lightning round? All right. You're listening to the Stone Age Gamer podcast from Geekade.com. Stick around. And now, here's a look at some of the other original content available right now at Geekade.com.
Just because somebody is incredibly powerful, Chris, doesn't mean they're very bright.
I could read a lot into that sentence.
You could, and probably should. It turns out to also be the case for poor David Haller, who has once again been duped by Farouk into running head-on into a potentially apocalyptic situation. Will David's crappy impulse control and decision-making skills doom us all? Find out in Legion of Spoilers, Chapter 16.
Still not watching that show. Probably still should be, though.
Probably should.
Loved the first episode. Time. Next, Rising from the Crypt took a little time off, but it's back now, and better than ever! Well, that's actually pretty much the same as it was before, because it's an article series about recapping Tales from the Crypt episodes. But there was a new episode, so that is something. This month, Alex Azar recaps the classic tale of a jealous man in a cabin who drinks too much and kills his best friend with a crossbow. We've all been there, right?
Yes.
Yes. Don't miss Rising from the Crypt. 3 is a crowd.
All's fair in love and war, Jimmy. Which is this, Dad? Both. Finally, this week, the Mutant Musings podcast. Patty and Jonathan.
Go to hell, Dad! How about I meet you there?
I will often think of you when I am in less than... Patty and Jonathan discuss the ongoing hunt for Wolverine, the amount of children Logan has, and Legion's trippy introduction to comics via Bill Sienkiewicz's art. They also shed a tearful goodbye to all new Wolverine, but not Maria Hill, because no one, Chris, likes Maria Hill. I mean, I like Colby Smulders.
Yeah.
But I don't like Maria Hill.
Especially not comics Maria Hill.
No. What does Colossus and Shadowcat's wedding have to do with Queen Elizabeth? What doesn't it have to do with her, quite honestly?
Seriously.
Could HIPAA laws stop Dr. Doom?
Maybe.
Find out on Mutant Musings, Episode 24, Rescue Kane.
I was informed that that is a much dirtier title than any of us know.
It is.
You can catch all this great stuff, plus tons of other articles, videos, podcasts, and more right now at geekade.com. Okay, we are back, and better than ever.
In front.
Back in front. How many more do you have, Dan? Do you have any more?
A couple.
All right. You want to start or you want me to kick it off?
You go.
Okay, this was another game that turned out to not be so great, but the reveal of it was pretty amazing. So here we are at E3 2009. The Wii is still struggling to capture the audience that Nintendo wants to capture in addition to their Blue Ocean strategy, as in gamers who continuously buy new games. And they went ahead and did something that was a really great idea that has been working out pretty well for them since, more or less, which was to farm out one of their more popular properties to a different developer. And they've had some success with this in the past. We mentioned Star Fox Assault before not being as good as it should have been, but it was a decent selling game. It did okay for itself. So they basically just used Reggie up there, standing up on stage being like, all right, so we still want to capture this audience. We still want to make games for you. And so we teamed up with one of the most renowned action studios out there. And we made this. And it starts off, and it's all spacey and whatnot, and everyone's like, all right, what is this?
All right, Punch-Out in Space. I don't get it, but I'm into it.
We see the Team Ninja logo, and like, oh, they partnered with Team Ninja. That's pretty cool. And then we see some sci-fi-looking stuff and some girl giving a thumbs down, and then all of a sudden, there's Samus. And we're like, oh, my God, Team Ninja made a Metroid game. This looks great.
And it did look great. This is the best thing ever.
It looks great. The trailer is just like all these Samus flipping around, doing all these awesome moves and just like jumping on things. And it looks like it's going to be this cool 2.5D game. It wasn't. It was a pseudo 3D game that plays pretty well. It's marred horribly by its controller options, as in there are no controller options. You have to play it with a D-pad and buttons, which is a terrible idea. Naturally. And really just a putridly awful story and some nasty ass character assassination. But this trailer only showed the cool things in Metroid Other M. And that was awesome. It was such a cool moment to just be like, all right, they haven't forgotten about us. Nintendo still wants to make cool ass games. And they clearly put a bunch of money into this because that was a badass trailer.
It was very cool.
It was. And
I was pretty hyped for it.
Actually play this game, because I know you had said at some point that you really didn't bother.
Nope. Once the reviews started coming out and the control scheme was revealed, I was like, oh, no, I'm not into it.
I still think you should give it a shot at some point, just because I know you're a Metroid fan, and there's a lot of the actual game that this does right, and it's such an interesting game because it is very much a Team Ninja Metroid game. And then it was like Sakamoto and Nintendo that did all the really crappy stuff, which is so weird.
That is weird.
You'd think that the weird third party would have been doing all the like, holy crap, this is anime as hell and not good anime either. That wasn't them. That was Sakamoto's storytelling, which was just not good in this game.
That's very strange.
Really, really unhappy. But when you're playing with just the, running around and stuff, just using a D-pad and a couple of buttons with the Wii remote held sideways, that's fine. There's very little in the way of, the only motion controls are some of the worst of it, is when you have to point at the screen to look around in first person, which is pretty shitty, but you don't have to do that very often. It's like almost never. But what a great reveal that was. Anytime Nintendo actually comes out and like gives me something that I've been wanting for a long time, it's just kind of amazing.
Speaking of things that I've wanted for a long time, Chris.
Yeah.
A couple of years ago, watching E3, see a trailer, dudes are walking, looks pretty cool. If not, somewhat unremarkable. And then, as the camera pans down, large man has gun for a hand. And the Final Fantasy VII HD remake is officially announced. And
oh boy.
It's never going to come out.
Mm-mm.
But holy shit, was I over the moon excited for that. I had actually predicted it on this show that it was going to happen. I said I would buy it for $100 if it did, and I will, because I'm a man of my word, Chris, but God damn it. I mean, the idea of that game remade with all the grandeur and glory of a current generation system, and by current generation, I do mean the PlayStation 6.
Yeah, that's probably around when that's going to come out.
And I'm fine with that. I really am. But the level of hype and anticipation for that had been so strong for years.
Yeah, because since they showed off that tech demo, we're like, we could do this. We're not gonna.
Yeah, I mean, they made that shitty-ass movie, The Spirits Within or whatever the fuck that was.
Advent Children was the Final Fantasy VII was. And
yeah.
But like, remember when they did the whole PlayStation 3 thing? It's like, check this out. This is what Final Fantasy VII would look like on PS3. And everyone's like,
you're doing that?
Can I have that? No, that looks amazing. And they're like, we're not doing this.
No, we don't want to do that.
Why did you do that to us?
It's not a thing we're going to do.
And so people have been begging for it ever since. But that's a great moment. But you want to talk about nailing an E3 presentation. That was Sony... In 2017, they were just making dreams come true.
They really were.
Because they started off with...
My number one moment is their 2017 conference.
Just in total, or...
No, the opening of the 2017.
Really?
Yeah.
With the flutes and stuff?
God of War with the orchestra?
Oh, dude. Was that God of War?
Yeah. The full orchestra... God of War, the first big reveal, the big gameplay, Kratos is a dad, everything looking amazing. I mean,
I thought the first, I'm looking at their 2017 press conference right now, and
or maybe 2016.
The first thing I'm seeing is the Uncharted thing.
Mm.
I think they ended with God of War.
No, 2016 with the fucking the whole orchestra and the whole thing. Unless I'm wrong now, and that was the Sony conference.
Oh, yeah. Gotcha.
But either way.
Well, we'll talk a little bit more about that in a moment. Okay. So, my number two, E3 2010, we're at the Nintendo press conference. Satoru Iwata comes out, and he's like, all right, so here we are. It's been a good time. You may remember, I think it was last January, we talked about Project Sora. It's this thing that we kind of put together with Sakurai from Smash Brothers and a handful of other folks. Like, we just wanted to make some. They had a really good idea. Well, it turns out that idea was to make this specific game. And this specific game is this. And up on the screen, I recognize it immediately. I imagine a lot of people didn't because it was kind of a deep cut. It starts off with the Queen of Darkness has returned, and it's Medusa, and I'm like, holy crap, you're kidding me.
Yeah.
And then Palutena, Goddess of Light, and I'm like, no freaking way. And then Pit comes running out, runs through the door, sorry to keep you waiting. Kid Icarus Uprising is revealed. For the first time in 20-some-odd years, there's a new Kid Icarus game coming, and holy heck, did it look nice.
It out of control.
Crazy, and it's still one of my favorite 3DS games. On a system with a ton of great games, it's one of my favorites. Kid Icarus Uprising is a fantastic game that did well for Nintendo, but should have done better.
More
people should have played it. Unfortunately, it had a weird control scheme, got ripped up in reviews, and people pay attention to reviews.
As well they should.
More people should have put their hands on it, though, because it wasn't as bad as a lot of people made it out to be. And that game was amazing. And that reveal, they put all their muscle behind Kid Icarus, and it's something I've wanted them to do forever. And they actually did it, and it was incredible. It was incredible. What a great moment.
Yes, very, very cool. I did just double check myself, though. It was 2016. The God of War.
Okay. Yeah,
the God of War, full orchestra. God of War was back looking just out of control.
That's right. Yep, you're right. I remember that now.
I mean, just like, because...
Oh, yeah, this was incredible. I forgot about this. Because you know, I'm looking at the 2017 one. It's like all the flutes and all the fancy weirdo stuff happening in the background. Like,
which was cool.
It was kind of cool. But I mean, yeah, this God of... Oh, my God, that's right. This was such a good reveal.
Full crazy orchestra. Something that everybody, like, every time there was an announcement, like, since the first God of War came out, it was like, all right, when's the next God of War? When's the next God of War?
Yeah.
I need more God of War in my life. And we had been a couple years, like, 2-3 years at this point, into the PlayStation 4 without anything from God of War.
Yeah, like a couple of remasters here and there, but...
Yeah, but not a new thing. And then to
where's
see...
Where's the new thing?
To see this game, and
it wasn't even a trailer. They didn't go into a trailer. They went into gameplay.
Just the first 20 minutes of the game.
Yeah.
Just absolutely incredible. Absolutely incredible. Like, I knew at that moment when it came out that would be my game of the year, and... I can't imagine anything topping it this year. Unless maybe Guacamelee 2 is that good if it comes out this year.
But in E3 2016, they also showed off Horizon, and that was the thing that impressed the crap out of me. I remember looking at the God of War being like, wow, that's amazing, but Horizon really impressed the pants off of me.
Yeah.
Just looking at this game is like, it's so incredible looking. I can't
that's
wait
from
to play this game.
Guys? No shit.
Look at that. I always knew they could make good games. Yeah, that was nuts. Oh, and then like the rest, then things went off the rails when they started doing like the human. Was it Detroit Become Human, which I don't care about? And
oh man, that is getting rave reviews though.
Could not possibly care less.
I know you couldn't.
I am tagged out of that.
That's fair.
Oh, and this is when we got Death Stranding.
And also Death Stranding. I still don't know what the hell that's about. But what was so cool about that was that the announcement had only come a short time before where it was like Kojima has left Konami
and he's going to
be working with Sony on his new project. And then like a few weeks later, he popped up on stage at E3 and was like, here's a fucking trailer. And what the fuck is this?
It's like he walks out and says, here's a trailer for my new game. Good luck.
Go nuts, internet. Try and figure this shit out.
Here's Norman Reedus crying over his
baby face.
His weird baby that just turned into oil.
Yeah.
And
it's odd.
He's butt naked.
I'm super into it.
Super not into it. I am super into you talking about it. I don't want to go anywhere near this game.
I'm so excited.
I don't want it in my house. I think it's going to curse me or something.
I am completely 100% Jesse Spano about this game.
Oh, and then they followed up right after that was Spider-Man.
I'm so scared.
And then they finished off with what the hell is this game?
That Spider-Man game looks really good. I know you're not into that either, but god
I feel like I should be. There's just something about that game that's rubbing me wrong.
Is it his costume? Because there's other costumes.
No, it's not the costume. That doesn't bug me. I can't. I really don't know what it is. I should be flipping out about this. I freaking love Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is about this game that's not hitting me right. And I love Insomniac. I know they're super talented. I think the Ratchet and Clank games are cool from what little I've played of them. I don't know
Sunset
what it is
Overdrive
about this.
Sunset Overdrive is great.
It's just turning me off. I don't know why. All right, well, I guess it's time for my number one.
Okay.
It's a shocker. was a shocker at the time.
It actually was.
It was a legit shocker at the time because we're heading back to E3 2004 on Nintendo's press conference. And it was a crazy show all around. Everybody had really cool stuff at E3 2004, but the game everyone was talking about was the way Nintendo ended their press conference. Because you started off with Prime 2, Star Fox, and Resident Evil 4. They announced the freaking Nintendo DS. They got a new hardware, amazing-looking exclusives, like of some really big names, and we think we're good. We're like, all right, that was a great show. Good on you, Nintendo. And then Reggie says, but before you leave, I'd like you to step inside one more world for Nintendo GameCube.
But before you leave, I'd like you to step inside one more world for Nintendo GameCube.
And it's pretty. A field, a rainstorm or whatever, and the Conan music starts, Conan music pitches in. There's a, the camera starts panning around, there's monsters all over the place, and then all of a sudden on a horse, realistic adult Link draws his sword on horseback, and followed by just this incredible trailer of some of the craziest shit you ever saw. Because where we came from to get here. I mean, this is the moment that they talk about where, if you're listening to the show and you somehow don't know this, this is the moment they talk about where, like, E3 made grown men cry. This was, people were in tears when this happened, and I was one of them.
There has never been a bigger reactor.
This is that Street Fighter moment where the parry of Chun-Li's super, this is E3's that. It does not get bigger than this. It was the biggest thing. It was just amazing, because here we are at the GameCube, and when the GameCube was announced at Space World in 2000, they showed this incredible video of Link fighting Ganon in this, adult Link art style. It looked detailed, it looked, at the time, absolutely amazing. It's all anyone could talk about, like, I can't wait until that comes out for the GameCube. And then they announced and released Wind Waker, which was so far away from that initial reveal. A lot of people hated it at the time.
On principle, yeah.
Like, this is not what we wanted. Turns out that turned, and I was one of those people. I was very vocal about the fact that I hated that. I still think that original trailer for Wind Waker looks putrid. It just looks
garbage.
I hate it. I hate every flavor of it. But when I finally played Wind Waker, the turnaround, when I actually got my hands on it and I realized that it's just such a beautiful and amazing thing. It's my favorite game of all time. So here I am, like, super happy with the direction of Zelda and thinking, like, all right, I get it now. I'm a little bummed that we're never going to get that hyper-realistic Zelda, but I like the direction that they're heading now. So I'm pleased. My favorite franchise is in good hands, and I'm okay. And then to see this was... There was a shot where he's, you know, blocking arrows in the middle of the woods, and it looked like my imagination. It looked like what I had always dreamed this world would look like. It's still one of the best things I've ever seen. Rewatching it today, that just earlier today, when that music kicks on, you're just like, amazing. And then it's, of course, followed up by Miyamoto coming out with a freaking Master Sword and Shield in his hands. And
that is what ruined it for me.
I was totally fine with that.
That
was great.
That moment. And I do mean that sincerely. And that makes me kind of an asshole. But when Miyamoto came out, I was like, oh, dude, he's such a nerd.
Right, he's such a nerd. He's one of us, and that's hilarious. That's the thing that ruined it for you, because that's the thing that sealed it for damn near everyone else.
I know.
Here's this freaking legend, the guy that made Zelda, just melted the brains of thousands of people, and then he comes out. And damn right, he gets to come out holding a sword and a shield and a one-up T-shirt. He's so freaking corny. Shigeru Miyamoto. It was awesome.
Stop being corny, Miyamoto.
Never stop being corny. Never stop being you. Holy crap.
Yeah, no. I mean, that moment, it really is amazing. It is truly only eclipsed by the Wii Music moment of all of them on stage.
Yeah, we want to talk.
Playing poorly, and I don't know how.
We want to talk about how bad things can get.
But, man... That moment, like, that is Nintendo, I think, in a nutshell.
Well, that is right there why that moment was so amazing. Because if there's something Nintendo's good at, it's not giving you what you want.
Yeah.
Like, that is their thing. They give you what they want. And most of the time, it's what you never knew you wanted. Or it's something that, wow, they were right. This is incredible. And that happens all the time with them.
Yeah, this is great. Never mind. I was wrong.
But they very rarely just straight up give you what you want, like what the fans are begging for. That's why when Smash was revealed earlier this year, everyone lost their goddamn mind, because they're like, there's no way that's going to happen. That's what we all want. That's what everyone's demanding right now.
That's what we're asking for.
That's what we're asking for. And there's Nintendo never no just gives you what you ask for.
Happen.
And people have been asking for a realistic Zelda for the longest time, and they gave it right then and there. And Twilight Princess has a lot of faults. It's not my favorite Zelda game, but there will never be anything to take away from the amazingness of that original trailer. It's a better game than Other M, hands down, but it's
we've talked about that.
Yeah, it's great in its own right, but no, it didn't live up to the hype of that original trailer.
No.
But I don't think anything could.
No, it really could. I mean, it really couldn't. But
if you want to talk, about
let's the lightning cream of the round crab. Some shit.
All right, quick lightning round, some shit. I think you got to mention Kinect, Project Natal, all that, everything.
The whole Kinectimals thing with the terrible kids up on stage. God, it was so dumb.
Yeah, that was nasty.
It was cringe-inducing at best. Awful. Just awful. What about the 2011 Skyward Sword? Miyamoto out there again, this time just waggling a Wii U controller and nothing happening.
Nothing worked. Because, you know, you can't work something like that in a room filled with 350,000 Wi-Fi signals bouncing around.
No, it did not work at all.
It just didn't work. That was sad. And that was what stopped them from doing E3 press conference. They never did another E3 press conference. That was it. That was the end. Because here's this legend.
They could not control the environment.
Yeah, here's this complete legend completely bombing. And it's like, all right, we're not doing this anymore. We have to change the way this is done.
Yeah,
because
it was epically bad.
It was. And it was sad, because what he was showing off was cool.
Mm-hmm.
He was showing off what eventually, as long as you had the right situation, they were showing off what everyone wanted the Wii to be from day one. You could finally hold the controller in your hand and swing Link's sword. And they made that game happen, and it was really cool. But that presentation was just so painful to watch.
Bad.
Worse than that, though, Ubisoft 2011, Mr. Caffeine.
See, I raise you Ubisoft 2010 with Joel McHale.
Ooh,
because it had Joel McHale, and he's not funny.
I like Joel McHale sometimes. I think he's pretty funny.
He's not funny, Chris.
I mean, he was great as the bank manager in Spider-Man 2.
Even that. That's the worst part of Spider-Man 2.
Nah.
Never is there a moment where I see a trailer for something and I'm like, fuck yes, Joel McHale is in this. Every time I see him, I'm like, fuck.
I think Mr. Caffeine was worse than Joel McHale, man.
They were both. I mean, that wasn't
great.
Neither of them are Jamie Kennedy. Also Ubisoft.
But
Ubisoft,
Mr. Caffeine was trash.
Needs to stop.
Yeah, they have good products. They just need to find a better way to package them, because their
didn't
press
conference
was bad.
Didn't they also have Aisha Taylor 1 year?
Couple of years, yeah.
God, and that was bad.
I like her, but
she's great.
Those difficult to get through, because I could tell that she was trying to make the best of it, because I don't think she wrote most of that stuff.
No.
But I think she's great, but those press conferences were less than fantastic. Archer,
she's better than
not.
Joel McHale.
We already talked about the Saturn available now. Really, for me, there's two worst press conferences ever. Number two, let's say, the almost worse, all of Sony's E3 2006.
I don't know how you can argue that anything is worse than that.
I can and do. Because this was terrible. This was, not only was it boring, but this was $599. I'm sorry, what?
Yeah, sorry. $599.
Did you say $599? As in $600?
I think you misplaced at least two of those 299s. You need to make that a little cheaper there, guys.
That's not all right. And it was immediately followed up with like, but technology's expensive and you gotta make a big investment for a big return. Like, I'm sorry. What did you say?
And we're not going to mention the fact that we don't have Rumble in the controllers anymore. And yeah, oh, look, no. It's Lair.
It's check out this Genji game that's based off of real history. These are real things that happened. Here's this giant enemy crab. I'm sorry.
What? You got to stab it in its weak point for massive damage.
So wait a second. It's based on real things that happened. Here's the giant enemy crab.
Well, I mean, it was a documentary.
it was another time. And then, of course, you
know,
showing
off. It was
a
time of giant crabs.
Was this was PSP, right? And this was before Vita. So this was PSP and him saying, Ridge Racer.
The best part about that is that not only does he go, and look, it's Ridge Racer, but he immediately, without even taking a fucking breath to like let that moment land, because Ridge Racer had been like a staple of Sony launches, and that wasn't necessarily a bad thing.
It was a staple of every launch, not just Sony.
Without even taking a breath, it goes Ridge Racer. Remember that one? Like,
yeah.
Fuck you. Like, your big reveal is some old shit.
Not great. It was presented. It wasn't even that this information was terrible. It's that it was also presented terribly.
Just by a bunch of dudes. It was presented by a bunch of dudes who knew that they were about to go bomb.
I feel like they believed in this. I feel like they were coming out like these were a bunch of suits that didn't know that they were about to bomb. That's how it reads to me. It always read to me that these guys thought they were coming out like, all right, we might get some pushback, but we've got some hot shit right here. And they
man,
didn't.
Did they miss the mark on that one?
Mark was missed. Hard. One of the greatest turnarounds in video game history is the PlayStation 3.
Without question, that thing
did not come out on fire, and the Xbox 360 was trouncing it, and they won that generation, and that's insane.
It is.
All of the props to Sony for that.
I mean, that's what... I don't know what your number one is, because I don't do show prep. Especially coming off the global domination that was the PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
To then land with the biggest of possible thuds with the PlayStation 3 conference and the $600 and the fucking ugly fat console and the stupid Spider-Man font and just everything about it was garbage of the highest caliber.
Well,
what's worse than that, Chris?
What's worse than that? Let's travel back to a time. A sad, strange time in video game history. 2008, Nintendo's E3 press conference. The entirety of Nintendo's 2008 E3 press conference is pain.
I don't even remember it.
Sadness and sorrow. If you really want a great recap of this year, Arlo, the YouTube channel Arlo, he's a blue Muppet. Who's very entertaining. He just did a whole retrospective on this. So this is the weeest of years. This is just dripping with that Wii mentality.
Is this Wii music?
This is Wii music and so much more.
That's the only thing I remember from it. Unless the vitality sensor was that year as well.
I think it may have been. It starts with Cammy Dunaway, who was just this completely out of touch. I'm sure she's a perfectly lovely woman, but having her do this presentation to a bunch of gamers, like she comes out with like this Mother's Day card because she's like just playing up that she's a mom. Mm-hmm. And then she starts playing Shaun White snowboarding on the Wii balance board with Shaun White. And Shaun White's doing all this like terrible forced laughter. He's clearly baked out of his mind, because he would have to be.
Well, and he's Shaun White.
So they're on the Wii balance board playing Shaun White snowboarding, which doesn't look great. And she's playing with him with her Wii remote, wrist strap on for maximum protection. And it's really uncomfortable. Like, it is of the uncomfortable moments that could be at E3. It's just right up there. And then Iwata comes out and he starts giving a bunch of business figures and talks great things about games. It's like, yeah, I like listening to Iwata talk, but now we're talking about Wii Sports and Wii Play and Guitar Hero Legends of Rock and just those casual things. And then we finally get a new game, Animal Crossing. All right. Now, this I didn't realize until I watched that Arlo video. This was actually the only core game announced at this entire press conference was Animal Crossing. That was it. That was the only, like, here's the new Nintendo game that you're going to get that people care about. Now, Reggie comes out, gives all these sales figures, and they're talking about Mario and Sonic and Pokemon Mystery Dungeon. The Wii is selling a whole lot of units, and we get some that crappy Clone Wars game, Guitar Hero on Tour. Spore is coming to DS. Now Cammy Dunaway's back out. And now we're talking about Wii Sports Resort. And this was their big game, Wii Sports Resort. Now I've got Bill Trinan and Cammy Dunaway waving their hands around, pretending to throw a frisbee to a cute little dog avatar as a Mii. And this is what we're getting here. This is so uncomfortable to look at. It is amazing. It's like, how is this even real? But it just keeps going. They do the silly sword fighting thing, and they're all out there waving their hands around like jackasses. And just when you don't think it could get any worse, they wheel some ass clown out with a mohawk, sitting on a drum throne with a Wii balance board under his feet and a Wii remote nunchuck in his hands, and he starts playing drums. And he just goes on this silly ass drum solo. And
that's not even good.
Wii music. And then Miyamoto comes out and starts tooting his little trumpet version of the Mario theme poorly.
Very poorly.
And they start yammering on and on about Wii music. This is the big thing. You thought Wii Sports Resort was it, but no. This is what they're going out on. And then they have a bunch of executives for Nintendo come out and play this awful music in Wii Music, and that's how they end it.
Just dancing up there like the world is about to end and they have no idea.
And we're here at
E3. Did that game even come out?
Wii Music, it did. It did come out. I own it. It's not terrible. No, it's a cute toy is what it is. It's like I put it in my son's hand. You know, I put it in John's hand and it's neat. But it's a toy. It's not even really a game. It's not a rhythm game. It's just like you can use your Wii remote in these funny little ways to make different instruments and learn a little bit about music. I get it. Like when I actually played it, when I bought it on clearance for literally $2, that's what I paid for the damn thing.
If your big show closer ever ends up in a $2 clearance bin, you have done shit the bed.
You have done things wrong. I mean, I'm looking at this like these are the things that they had these huge, huge chunks of time dedicated to, just really swinging for that casual market at E3. Talk about not speaking to your audience.
Yeah, mom and grandma weren't watching the E3 conference like, I can't wait to see what the hot new casual shit is.
They casually glossed over the fact that they had a brand new exclusive Grand Theft Auto game coming to the DS. Like, yeah, we partnered with these guys. They're making Grand Theft Auto Chinatown Wars for DS. That's pretty cool, huh?
Pretty cool. Here's a vitality sensor.
Here's Rayman Raving Rabbids TV Party. Yay!
Oh, gross.
Like, holy crap, guys. You should have spent some time on GTA Chinatown Wars, because then maybe somebody else would have, too. Because apparently that game was great, but nobody bought it.
I still don't think it's worse than the Sony conference, but it's pretty awful.
Oh, it's what makes this worse for me is that the Sony conference is so much bad material, but this one's uncomfortable. This one's like actually hurts. Like watching this woman parade around, flapping her arms around with, she is probably very good at her job. This should never have been her job.
This should not have been her job. No.
Watching coming off what other people were bringing to the table at this point, and this is what they were. This is them swinging for the fences, and it's just not good.
I think the reason it doesn't hit that high for me is because I had already.
You had already
checked out. The realization of what the Wii was at that point, so none of that was a surprise.
You
know what I mean?
I kept holding out hope. Like,
son of a bitch, they've taken my PlayStation 3 and made it into a system for my mom. Like, the Wii was a system for my mom. And she's a horrible person. So
I think that has a lot to do with why I like that other M reveal a year later. Because the next year, after this debacle of putrid horribleness, finally Nintendo's like, no, we haven't forgotten completely about you guys. We still do want to make games for you. We're not going to do a very good job, but it's going to look great right now.
I remember sitting on my couch in Lakeland, Florida, with Tiff, watching Shigeru Miyamoto and all those other asshats parade around and play. There was a guy in a fucking, it's like there was the Mohawk dick and then Miyamoto and then some fucker in like a shiny blue button down tucked into his pants, and like they're just, he's playing the trumpet or some bullshit, like he's just dancing around like a fucking idiot up on stage, and like the conference ends. And, like, Tiff looked over at me and she goes, well, that was some bullshit. Got up and walked away.
She was right. That was some bullshit.
Because, like, we had purchased the Wii only a little bit before that conference. And she was really excited. Like, we were both really excited about it. Of, like, this is going to be fun and we can play together. And, like, yada yada. And, like, we played the shit out of our Wii for, like, the first week that we had it, and then it like was the Netflix for the girls, but like we were hoping to get back, and she was mad after that. That was bad.
God, I just turned the volume up. Oh my god, I gotta turn this off.
There's a dude in like a blue shirt, like a royal
dude
blue
in the blue shirt,
down.
He's tooting around on the trumpet. Ass clown on the drums is back there. I'm sure he's a great drummer.
I'm sure he's
not. I've never
heard
him before.
You're a great drummer, you don't find yourself in those situations.
I don't know, man. As a drummer, if somebody's paying me a bunch of money to get up on stage and play with Shigeru Miyamoto, like how do you know ahead of time this is going to be too like terrible? Like as a virtual quick little play drum set, that's kind of neat, you know. It functions, but nah. Oh boy,
still not $600.
$599
U.S. dollars.
Good lord. Well,
ugh.
As Dan and I could argue through the night about who hurt us worse, Sony or Nintendo, but
show me on the doll where Shigeru Miyamoto touched you.
He made tooting noises.
That's
our show.
Turn.
That's our show. That was fun. We're so excited for E3. I mean, I know I am.
I'm excited for next week's episode.
Yeah, that's going to be fun. I'm excited for all the next handful of episodes because everything around E3, I'm so stoked for. I have no idea what to expect from Microsoft because who the hell knows what they do.
They're going to cut the price of the Xbox Scorpion. They're going to announce the Xbox Sub-Zero. And it's going to be $99. It's going to be amazing. That's what the system is called now, right?
$99
Scorpion. No, Canadian dollars.
Unmarked Canadian francs. I have no idea what Sony's going to do. Like, I don't know what they have in the pot because they've had like, you know, God of War and Horizon in the last 2 years. And
yeah, those are pretty big.
Their heavy hitters are like, they're out there now. Like, what do they have next? And are they going to kind of take it easy and rest on their laurels and just release a handful of, here's some really cool stuff that's happening, or are they going to come out with something else that's just going to blow our freaking minds? I don't know.
I don't know.
That's
You're
awesome. Going
to have to tune in next week for our predictions, Chris.
You are. And Nintendo has got Smash. I'm already sold. So who the hell knows what else they're coming out with? I'm so excited. So that's it. Next week we're going to do our E3 predictions show. We're going to be wrong about damn near everything as we usually are. I think Dean wants to join us for that too. So that should be fun.
I don't know how I feel about that. That's not some shit you spring on me on the show, Chris. It's like asking me and like you're the kid asking in front of mom and dad if your friend can sleep over while they're standing right there in front of me.
I don't even know for sure if he is, but I feel like I've had that conversation with him. I don't know, but it's going to be fun. Once again, you can get in touch with us at malatgeekade.com, as well as all flavors of social media that we inhabit. You can like us on Facebook, find us on Instagram at Geekade, subscribe to our YouTube and Twitch channels for all our latest video content, and follow us on Twitter at @_Geekade. You can also find us individually on Twitter. I'm at Geekade Chris. That's Geekade KRIS. And Dan, tell the nice people where they can find you.
At Geekade Dan.
If you're interested in more information about anything we discussed here tonight, be sure to check out the show notes. And while you're at it, you can also subscribe to this and any of our other wonderful podcasts on iTunes or Stitcher, where if you're super nice, you can leave us a review, because any and all feedback is welcome and appreciated. We'd also like to thank our intrepid editor, Evan, for making this show listenable for all you folks. And we'd like to thank Mark TDK Knight for our show's theme. You can check him out on SoundCloud and Bandcamp, or his website, which we have a link to in the show notes. Again, always remember to keep your eyes on Geekade.com for even more fresh original content. That's it, everybody. Thank you for listening. I'm so excited. I cannot wait to play more Mega Man. Keep playing games.